All right, I want you to get your Bibles out tonight and to turn to Psalm 119. And I don't have a very long message for you tonight. Psalm 119. I'm just going to stand here and preach behind this thing about that. Let's stand. Psalm 119. 119 and verse 165. Psalm 119 and verse number 165. Yeah, you already read it. I'm going to tie this in to the youth group and what happened over there at the camp. And you'll see why I want to preach this tonight in just a moment. But Psalm 119, verse number 165 says this: "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." With God's help tonight, just for a few moments, I want to preach on this thought: old and offended. We wouldn't have anybody here tonight that's old and offended, would we? Give me about 15 or 20 minutes. Amen. Brother Dan, would you pray for this? Then we'll be seated. Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Please help me. Yes, Lord. Yes. Please help us. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen. All right, thank you. You may be seated tonight. We were on our way back from the youth camp Wednesday, and I was traveling. As usual, Darby was driving, and I was resting. That's the only way I can get rest in her, too, is if she drives. But I'm on my way back from youth camp, and I began thinking about this, preaching this message. It got on me, and I was looking at things and thinking about it. And I'll tell you why I got the idea to preach this message this night. I knew this, was hoping that we were going to have something like this, a presentation like this. And I tell you why. When I was at the camp, I believe it was Brother Mark. I'm not for sure, but I believe it was Brother Mark. One of the preachers got to preaching. And I want to tell you this. First of all, these preachers, they preach hard. Don't anybody ever come up to me again and talk about how hard I preach. They preached hard. They called them young people everything but human. They got on them. They preached hard. But then he made this comment. This is where I got the idea for this message. He's going along there and he made some kind of comment like this. He said, "You know, you young people can take hard preaching." Then he looked beyond where all the several hundred young people were and all us older people were in the back. He said, "It's you old people that can't take it. You're the one that gets offended." Which is very true. The young people were lapping it up. And when he was getting on to the young people, they realized he's trying to help them. He was preaching to them to help them. And he said, "It ain't the young people that get offended. It's the old people." Amen. This is going over like a lead balloon, brother. Hallelujah, anyhow. Now I want you to notice this text we just read to you here tonight. I want you to realize that the Bible gives you two great promises in this one verse. If you love God's law, if you love God's law, it says you're going to have great peace. How many of you want great peace? I do. And it says, "And nothing shall offend them." Nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. That means if I love God's law, I don't run around with my feelings on my shoulder getting offended all the time. You show me somebody that gets offended all the time, I'll show you somebody, bless God, that don't love God's book. If you love God's book like you're supposed to, you love the Lord Jesus Christ like you're supposed to. And when you love God's law and the Lord Jesus Christ like you're supposed to, you won't love yourself so much. You'll love Him more than yourself. And if you love Him more than yourself, you won't get offended all the time. Amen. You better amen right here, because there ain't been many more places left to do it. Now in the Bible, the word offend can be used in at least three different ways. It can mean to sin. You've sinned. You've offended God. It can mean to cause, to fall, or stumble. You've laid an offensive thing in front of somebody. You've offended your brethren. Or it can mean to upset or disturb. Like some of you get when I preach, you get upset and disturbed. Yep. Now we live in a society that gets offended very quickly, don't we? And the bad thing is that spirit has now entered into the local church. It has. There is more apologizing by politicians and actors and coaches and teachers than you've ever seen in your life. And listen, man, none of them mean it. They just don't want to lose their job. You see how that's the thing that's in right now. Everybody getting on TV and apologizing. Well, I was so insensitive and I shouldn't have said it. Listen, man, if you meant it and you believe it, don't apologize for it. Just to keep your job, just to stay out of trouble. But everybody's apologizing now because everybody gets offended. Everybody's offended. And that spirit is now in the local church. You can't preach or say anything without, I just got my feelings hurt. We got 55 and 65 and 70-year-old people walking around with big old pasties in their mouth. Why is it can those leather lung preachers over there at camp preach to these young people and they come back teared up, crying and soft toward the Lord and appreciate that a man of God would get up there and tell them the truth? And you got people in their 50s and their 60s and their 70s. Well, he ain't going to talk to me like that. Some of you getting offended right now. And I ain't even got started good. Now, these folks are not offended by wicked TV programs. They're not offended by pornography at the checkout counters and billboards of America that's got smut all over it. Or sodomites. Or people blaspheming and cursing God. Not offended by that because you'll never say anything about it. They just, people nowadays in our society, they just get offended when you're told what bathroom to go to. You nut. There's something wrong with you if you don't know what bathroom to go to. Every how you was born, that determines what bathroom you go to. And there's certain, well, I'll just say this, you ought to know where the bathroom to go to. That's all I'll say about that. They're only offended by you speaking against their perverted lifestyle. They're only offended by the scripture signs in your yard, not by HBO or Showtime. That's right. But God's people, listen, God's people, and I'm trying to help you tonight. God's people, especially God's older people, can get offended too. And they get offended very easily. And it ought not be so. I've just showed you from the Bible that it says if you love the law of God, nothing shall offend you. Yet, you know what I have to deal with probably more than anything, just about anything as a preacher? People getting offended. People getting offended with me. People getting offended with somebody else. People getting upset about this. And I didn't like that. And you did this. And you did that. And you should have done this. And you didn't do that. That's the life of a pastor. Any of you want to get some of it? I don't see people saying that. I hear people all the time make comments like, well, I wish I was a pastor, just work one day a week. Get paid all that big money. Why ain't you standing in line to do what I do? Because people are always getting offended, always upset about something. Listen, if you come to church with a chip on your shoulder, I promise you, I've been in it long enough. I know somebody will be there to knock it off. And I believe the devil purposely sets it up so that if you're in a bad mood, and some the most sarcastic person in the church, he sits up where that'll be the first dude you see when you get here. Right, ain't that right? You've had a bad night or a bad day, and there he is. Just some kind of old smart remark to make. Now, I'll tell you three reasons I think that older people, they get so offended. Number one, they've adopted the outlook of the world via TV, internet, social media. You're looking at the thing like the world's looking at it instead of how the Bible tells you to look at it. And you watch so many programs and so much internet and so much on the computer and social media and everything, you've let the world dictate to you about what you ought to be offended about. And we're so effeminate and we're so soft and we're so self-consumed and we're so narcissistic. And such a narcissist running around here that everything's about us, and you better make sure everything you say and do is to help me and to make me feel good. Don't ever make me feel bad. You get that jump from the hell you pump in your home. If some of you shut off that computer every once in a while, bless God, and get in your King James Bible, you might not stay offended all the time. And it ain't the young people. It's the older people. It's the gray-haired people. With those gray hairs, you ought to have some wisdom. You ought to be growing in grace. You ought to be growing in knowledge. You ought to be growing in stuff. You ought to be able to overlook that junk. Your temper ought not be what it used to be. You ought to not take these people as serious as you do. You know about half the people you walk around with in society. They ain't got a lick of sense. Don't worry about what they say. Don't let that mess bother you. You ain't coming to church for them anyway. You're coming for the Lord. But what you've done is you watch so much TV and so much computer and so much social media, and everybody's apologizing about everything now. So you think they ought to apologize for you. Not if they meant it. Just say, I disagree with you, but I ain't apologizing because I meant what I said. You only apologize if you're sorry. Amen. I'll tell you number two why this is going on. Years of pansy preaching. Years of pansy preaching. The last 30 or 40 years, you've got it in your mind that if a fellow's a good preacher, he talks. He smiles and he grins. Got brilliant white teeth. And he never raises his voice. And he's got his hair combed real nice. He wears real expensive suits. He just don't look nothing like me. I mean, and he's just real soft and he's real kind. He's real understanding. Maybe he'll pull up a stool out here and get him a cup of coffee and say, well, you know, and to wear that air traffic control mic on his mouth there. And, well, I just tell you, we just all love one another. And, oh, everything's so great. And you're great. And I'm great. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Hey, we're all great. And then when you get a fella come in here and preach like me, he don't love us. He ain't sweet natured. Amen. You've seen so much Joel Osteen on TV and so much of that stuff. And you've got your mind is in your mind of the fellow that's sweet and nice and kind. That's a good fellow. And this fellow right here that hurts my feelings, he's offensive. You know what you're doing? You're putting too much stock in bedside manners. I don't want a doctor that's got good bedside manners and he's lying or incapable of knowing what he's talking about. Put the bedside manners secondary. I want somebody to know what they're doing and tell me the truth. But not mainstream evangelical Christianity. No. And number three, it's the inability to take constructive criticism or admit you're wrong. And some people, they don't want a preacher pointing at them. I graduated from a Southern Baptist Bible college. And in that Southern Baptist Bible College, they teach you pulpit manners and all that kind of stuff. And they say, never do. There's about four or five things I do they told me never to do. You're not supposed to point. You're not supposed to scream. You're not supposed to get loud and animated and point at them and say, you wicked, no good for nothing like I'm doing right now. That's bad manners. That's not proper pulpit etiquette. You're not supposed to do that. You know why? Because people can't stand you telling them they're wrong. That's why people want to hear a lot of we preaching instead of you preaching. Now listen, I agree with the we preaching because we're all sinners. There ain't no separation between the preacher and the people out there in the audience. Every one of us are wicked. Every one of us without Christ are on our way to hell. And I need preaching and I need to get right in my life just like you do. But let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong every once in a while after God's given me a message and I've let it deal with my heart and I've confessed it and I've got things right between me and God. Then it's not we no more. I'm preaching to you. I'm not preaching to your neighbor. I'm not preaching to your wife. I'm not preaching that fellow. You don't know how many times people come to the back door and say, that was a good message, brother. I wish your so-and-so had been here to hear it. I've heard that several. Any other preacher ever heard that? Anybody else ever heard that? I wish your so-and-so would have been here to hear it. I'm thinking, man, you missed the whole deal. God had you here to hear it. That's how a fellow gets messed up. Every once in a while, you got to pick up this book and look in there and say, that thing right there, it's not got nothing to do with my wife, it's not got nothing to do with my neighbor, it's not got nothing to do with my youngest, nobody else. That verse right there, God, the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to me, and I'm the one that needs to get right with God. Every time you pick up this Bible, you're always thinking about somebody else needing to read it, somebody else needing instruction. That's how you get out and messed up and then left field. And a lot of Christians have done that. They can't pick that thing up and let God tell them what's wrong with them. It's always somebody else. How about a sip of water? Now this is all a result, according to the Bible, not loving God's law. Let me tell you six quick things. If you don't love God's law, what'll happen? About being offended. Sort of like some of you are right now. Hard preaching will offend you. How come we went over there? I'm telling you, I know you don't believe it. You need to go over there at least for a day or two and see that I'm not lying. They're rough, man. They are rough. My wife said that. My wife's heard roughness for 20-something years. She knows what roughness is. They're rough over there. None of the kids got mad about it. Why do church people get mad about it? If you don't love God's law, you will be offended by hard preaching. There was a day and time when people wanted hard, straight preaching. They wanted folks to tell them like it is, because they knew it would clean the soul. But now we think if we come to church and we don't feel good and we don't leave feeling good, then that's what church is about. I ought to come there and feel good and leave feeling good. Not if you're living like the devil, you'll not feel good. Now maybe after you make a trip to the altar and the man of God preached to you about 30, 35 minutes and you put everything under the blood, then you can leave feeling good. But you don't walk, you should never walk in a good Baptist fundamental church that's preaching the truth and ever feel good while you're living in sin. If you do, you've got a pansy preacher. You tell him I said so. Amen. Hard preaching will offend you. Number two, preaching that goes against your children and grandchildren will offend you. I never understood that. You ought to want a preacher that will preach to your children. You ought to want a preacher that will preach to your teenagers. You don't want a preacher that'll look at them and say, you need to stay right with God. You need to stay pure. You need to stay clean. Knock it off back there. Get right. You don't want a preacher that don't want your youngins in church playing on their stinking cell phone while he's preaching. Mom and daddy, if you had any sins, you'd put a stop to it. Wouldn't have the preacher have to do it. But you don't love the law of God. If you love the law of God, you want them, you'd say, preacher, oh God, put something on his heart that'll convict my son, that'll convict my daughter, that'll convict my grandchild. Not because he tried to be mean to him, but he loves him and he prays for him, and I know he'll tell him the truth. And the truth is what's going to make him free. We preached that this morning. The truth is what's going to help. Preaching that goes against your children and grandchildren, that will offend you if you don't love the law of God. Number three, when you are accidentally overlooked, you will become offended. My name didn't get in the bullet. He put everybody else's name in the bulletin, and I was there working with them just like they were. If you do it for the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't care if your name gets put in the bulletin or not, or if you get recognized or not. Now, I think you ought to be recognized, and I think we ought to appreciate people around here. I'm not saying that. But if you do it for Jesus, if you really did it for Jesus, then you know Jesus sees it. And Jesus sees your heart. He knows what you're doing. And he's happy with you. Who cares if anybody else is happy with you? But I went down there and I worked for 25 or 30 hours. And I've been working and working and working. Nobody's ever said thank you. Thank you. Are you doing it to be thanked, or are you doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Are you doing it to build a monument and so you can advertise back to everybody how spiritual you are and how much you work and how much you do? Or are you doing it to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're doing it to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't care if anybody recognizes you or not. You don't care if your name gets put in the bulletin or not. You don't care if the recognition passes you and goes to somebody else or not. You know who worries about recognition? You know who worries and gets offended when they're not recognized for hard work? It ain't none of these youngins. It's you in your 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s. Amen. 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 I don't hear Brandon King back there getting up saying, I didn't put my name in the bulletin. Never heard Bailey or Marissa or anybody say anything. Why didn't they recognize me? Now, they ain't old enough yet to get contagious, to get that disease that some of you got. that I, me, recognition. I want to be in the limelight. I want to be recognized. I want everybody to think well of me. I want everybody to brag on me. I want everybody to pat me on the back. I'm offended if you don't. Hallelujah, anyhow. I'm telling you the truth. Quickly, we got to get off that. You get offended when people preach against your gods, like Fox News. Some of you turn Fox, I don't care if it's the most conservative one or not. Who gives a rip? Turn on Fox News for a while and read your Bible. You know more about the lineup on Fox News. You can tell me who's on at this hour and who's on at this hour and who they had on last night, and you can't quote me three verses of Scripture. Amen. You're keeping up with the Catholic-run news organization. Fair and balanced, my foot. They may be a little bit more fair and balanced than CNN, but that ain't, what does that say? How is it when Fox News comes on, they got a bunch of women on there, and all of them are pretty and got high skirts on? It ain't just their journalistic abilities. Back 50 years ago, you have a fellow on there who looked like Ted Koppel or Walter Cronkite. They were really about journalism, not legs. They don't fool me. I know why they're putting them women on there. They could find better anchors or journalists or whatever than them, but they're looking for the things that's going to get the views. Maybe some of the reasons some of you men are, I want to keep up with politics. Yeah, why do you want to keep up with politics all day long with them women on there all day long? Some of you women will knock your husband in the head. Looking at those high skirts women, but they're taking Fox News is taking the high road. I know every time I talk about Fox News, you get mad, and I'm just going to dig the knife a little bit more. You need to worry about what the Bible says instead of worrying about all this politics and junk. If you study your King James Bible as much as you watch that news all day long, as they sensationalize the thing and repeat the thing over and over and over and over, just to keep you watching, you might learn something about God. Your gods, the Democrats, or the Republicans, or Elvis, whoever it is, Clinton or Trump. You get somebody gets to preaching against them, they'll offend you. I preach against Elvis Presley. You'd be surprised how many people got mad that I preached against Elvis Presley. I'm looking to see if some of you is going to get mad. I'll just start preaching on them. Elvis Presley was the biggest loser and dud that ever could come in this nation. I don't give a rip how many records you got of them, bless God. I don't care if you do, like, how great the Lord. He's a dud. He's a dope-smoking, drug-headed, fornicating joker that died on the pot. What did he contribute to society? Raised in a good Christian home, rejected every bit of it, shaking his hips and singing and fornicating. And, but nobody sings gospel music like Elvis. That's why I don't like country music singers. That's the biggest bunch of stinking hypocrites I've ever seen. You load your youngins up, or you load your grandkids up about the rock music. I'll take the rock music over that stinking country western music any day of the week. That mess I used to listen to when I was a teenager in rebellion. I'll tell you one thing. You never heard Metallica or AC/DC come out with a gospel album. They sing about worshiping the devil and they meant it. These stinking, stupid country singers, they're sitting one minute, they're singing Amazing Grace and putting out gospel albums. Next minute, they're thinking about whore hopping and beer drinking. That's the biggest bunch of renegades. That's the biggest bunch of fakers, hypocrites. George Jones and a whole lot of them. Let me think of them. Johnny Trash and all your idols. You think you're better. They listen to that old rock music. And you listen to these. I don't know how in the world I got on this, but I'm having fun. And then you got these country singers like Dolly Parton. He's alive! He's alive! And then she stars in Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. And you like that stuff. You the one that needs to crawl down here to this altar and get right with God. Amen. I ain't got the problem tonight. You do. Is that everything you told me to say, Ben? Did I leave something out, brother? Did
I believe he's right, so let's move on. Listen, if you get offended easily, the delivery will matter more than the message. He's not smiling. There's somebody. Do you remember when I first got here, they got us up here, and Miss Amanda took that nice picture of me, and Darby standing behind me, and I'm sitting in the chair, and they got my nice suit on, and Darby, she just, it don't matter. She's just always so beautiful. She loves around with me and all that kind of stuff. They took a picture of me, and I'm sitting there, and some guy come on the internet, he might be here tonight, I don't know, and said, this is the thing he puts on there. He says, why ain't he smiling? My sister saw that, and she said, well, you just got there, and I didn't want to mess you up. She said, but I started to write in and say, because he ain't got no teeth. You mean you can hit our web page, read my bio about me, listen to some sermons, and look at that. All you come up with was, he ain't smiling. Well, when he was preaching today, he had a chime on his tooth. All he does every time is he rubs his eyes, and he does this, and he gets mad, and he hollers and carries on. What did I say? You don't know what I said. You're offended by how I said it. You're offended because I ain't your typical preacher. I'm a John the Baptist. I'm Elijah. I'm going to stick in Joel Osteen. You're offended because I ain't as kind and as nice and as sweet, and I'm disheveled and hair and fingers and everything flying everywhere, and I'm just letting you have it. There's no guile in me. I'm going to be very candid and very straightforward. You're not going to have to wonder where you stand with me. I'm tired of that stinking hypocrisy in the pulpit. Just be honest with you people. If you mess up, be honest with them. They'll forgive you. If you don't always get it right, I don't always get it right. But my goodness, man, don't put on some kind of facade and act one way when you're really something else. I am a country boy from Alabama. And that's exactly how I act when I preach. I was raised off way out in the middle of nowhere. You turn off the paved road and go down a dirt road, and that's where I was raised. And I lived for many years of my life with chickens in the yard, and a hog pen about 100 yards behind the house, and you could always pee off the back doorstep. And I can't be nothing else but that, and I'm not going to try to be nothing else but that. I'm not going to be a stinking hypocrite. But you don't even know what I say. Some of you don't even know when you back there or something I said a while ago, 10 or 15 minutes. Well, he didn't say this, and he didn't smile. He's just sort of rough, and he don't ever... Oh, well, them other preachers, they don't do that. I went to my sister's church the other weekend, and her preacher was so nice and sweet. He didn't have nothing like Brother Dennis. What did your sister's preacher tell you, and what am I telling you? Did your sister's preacher hold up a King James Bible and show you some truth? Or just smile and grin at you like a possum eating briar to shake your hand and, yeah, glad you're here. Yeah. I don't care if you go to hell, just put money in the plate. You get offended. Because you don't love God's Word. And you're worried about how my mannerisms are in the pulpit more than what I'm saying. That's why this world is messed up, Brother Ben. That's why Christianity's so messed up. You're not worried about what the man's preaching is saying. I'll tell you this. You'll fall out of church because of the actions of another brother in Christ. You'll get offended by what somebody says or does to you. I've seen them fall out by the dozens and wasn't even mad with me, surprisingly, just mad with somebody else. You don't love the law of God, and you get offended, and you got to go somewhere else. The Bible says if you love God's law, you won't be offended. You won't be so touchy. You won't be so, as some of the people we know about. You ever known those people? You ever known somebody who's like, man, I just constantly walking on eggshells with them. You never know what's going to set them off. They just get so offended and so hurt and so upset so easy. Listen, if you don't know that person, that's you. You just come here waiting to be offended. Now listen, I'm going to give you something. I'm getting ready to close. Listen, you need to hear this. If you're going to be a member, everybody listen to me. If you're going to be a member of a Bible-believing Baptist church,
of a Bible-believing work, you're going to have to develop some thick hide. You'll never stay with it if you don't. God will help you do that if you love Him and love His Word. I said, God will help you do that if you love Him and love His Word. And then you get to the point where, as I've told Sonny and talked to some of these other fellas, you'll just be burnt. What do you mean, burnt? You'll be burnt. You won't know none of no other preaching but Bible preaching, will you? Once you get burnt. And see beyond all the roughness and the toughness, and you think they're mean, and you think they're rough, and you think they're against you, and you think they're being sarcastic, and you think, no, they're trying to help you, man. Trying to help you. It is bad when children can take preaching, and somebody in their 50s, and somebody in their 60s, and somebody in their 70s can't take it. Listen, folks, tonight, don't grow old and get offended. Grow old in peace and in love. Be sweet. Don't be what's that old gospel song? Don't be an agitator, an instigator. What's all the Tater family? Don't be an agitator. Anybody know that song besides me? The Tater family? All right. Well, I know the last Tater. Be a sweet Tater. I'm imploring you. Be a sweet Tater. Don't get offended, man. It ain't worth it. You know what the devil wants you to do? I'm closing this thing down. I tell you what he wants you to do. He wants you to get offended by something somebody does or something somebody said or something the preacher preached and somebody didn't acknowledge him and somebody didn't put you in a bulletin. Now, he wants you to get offended and get out of church. Then he can bust your marriage up. He can put your kids in hell. He can mess your kids up. He can mess your family up. And you'll be bankrupt at the judgment seat of Christ over some little old something that didn't even matter. Didn't even matter. Didn't even matter. But the devil made it matter to you. And if you, that Bible says right there, if you love His law, if you love His Word, and you love the Lord, that stuff won't happen. So the prayer is tonight, God, I don't want to get old and I don't want to get offended. Help me to love that book more and more and more and more. And that'll help me to love myself less and less and less and less. And I won't take myself so seriously and I won't walk around getting offended all the time. Amen? Amen. Every head bowed and eye closed.